Well, today is a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
It's good to have you joining us for this broadcast today called Hope for Your Heart. We pray that we can really encourage you today. And we're talking about the fruit of the spirits, and today we're on the third fruit of the spirit, which is patience. And this is a tough one, right? When you think about patience, and patience is something that everybody wants, but few of us possess it. And I got to admit to you today that I'm not the most patient person in the world. I'm one of these people that want things done yesterday. And it kind of reminds me of the story of the little girl who came up to her mom and says, "Mom, how do you spell parenting?" And so the mom says, "Well, this is how you spell parenting. P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E. Patience is what you need if you're going to be a parent." You know, the Bible has a lot to say about patience and waiting on the Lord. As a matter of fact, Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, thou contrite one. In penitence, draw near to him, and he will pardon you, and he will give you his grace. He will bestow it upon you." And so waiting upon the Lord, patiently waiting for him, is not a time of doing nothing. It is a time of crying out to the Lord. And when you cry out to the Lord, he gives you mercy. It is a time of waiting on the Lord when you're under temptation, and he will give you the ability to overcome your sin. And when you're waiting upon the Lord patiently, he gives you grace, and victory will be found in your life. When you wait upon the Lord, when you're weary, it's a time of rest because he cares for you. When you wait upon the Lord, you will find that every need that you have, he will supply to you. And you find that in the quietness of those moments that you're waiting upon him. We are told to wait upon the Lord when you're sad. The grief and the sorrow will go away as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, be confident as you're waiting upon him. When you think about waiting upon the Lord, it is a time of growth. It is a time of renewal as you wait for him. Calvin Coolidge talked about waiting, and he talked about persistence as we're waiting on the Lord. He said this, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent cannot. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is filled with educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, 'Press on,' has solved and will always solve the problems of the human race." You know, the problem is we don't like to wait. We'd rather give up and not be persistent. When you think about waiting, experts tell us there is a great benefit on waiting in difficult times. The New York Times did an article, and the journalist Alex Stone tells a story of how executives of a Houston airport faced a major dilemma. And the dilemma was this. As the passengers got off of the airplane, they complained that the wait time was too long at the baggage claim. They first decided to hire some more baggage handlers to reduce the wait time and to get it down to a lower average of maybe 8 minutes. But the complaints persisted. This made no sense to the executives, and they discovered that on average, passengers took just 1 minute to walk from the airplane to the baggage claim, resulting in a hurry up and wait situation. The walk time was not a problem. The remaining 7 empty minutes of staring at the baggage carousel, that was the problem. So in a burst of innovation, the executives moved the arrival gates further away from the baggage claim area. Passengers now had to walk much further, but their bags were often waiting for them when they arrived. Problem solved. The complaints dropped. You know, that same article, Stone interviewed MIT operations research manager Richard Larson. This is the world's leading expert on waiting in lines, and he discovered that there is a psychology behind our waiting. What happened at the Houston airport makes for a perfect illustration. According to Larson, the length of our wait is not as important as what we are doing while we wait. Often the psychology of waiting in line is more important than the statistics of wait itself. He continues by saying, we can tolerate occupied time as we're waiting. For example, walking to the baggage claim was occupied time, so it didn't matter if we were walking for 8 minutes or 10 minutes. It was far better to have that occupied time than unoccupied time. This is why so often waiting on God feels like unoccupied time to us. But when we wait, I want you to know, it's not unoccupied time. God is doing something in those times of waiting. He is preparing us for something bigger. He is preparing us for something better. But he knows he has to develop within us the character to sustain us before he can give us what we're waiting for. In a standardized math test, we discovered that Japanese children tend to be higher on the scores than the American counterparts. While some assume that a natural proclivity toward mathematics is the primary difference, researchers have discovered that it may have more to do with effort than ability. In one study involving first graders, students were given a very difficult puzzle to solve. The researchers were interested in whether or not the children could solve the puzzle, and they simply wanted to see how long they would try before giving up. And this is what they found. American children lasted on average 9.47 minutes. The Japanese children, however, they lasted 13.9 minutes before they gave up. In other words, the Japanese children tried 47% longer, and as a result, they received a higher score on math exams. Researchers concluded that the difference in math scores might have less to do with intelligence and more to do with persistence. The Japanese first graders simply tried harder. The study was not only explained the difference in standardized math scores, but the implications are true no matter what or where you turn. It doesn't matter whether it's athletics or academics, music or math, there are no shortcuts. There are no substitutes. Success is a derivative of perseverance. Winston Churchill put it this way, success is stumbling from one failure to another failure with no loss of enthusiasm. Always excited no matter what is happening. You see, too many times we give up on something for a particular reason, only to find out that after we gave up, the reason for our quitting was removed, and we quit way too early. How are we able to keep persisting when everything inside of us wants to quit? What is this matter of patience? Patience means to remain. It means to endure. It remains to be under pressure, to be steadfast, especially as God enables the believer to remain under a time of stress. He challenges us to be patient in those times. Patience is teaching us a determined purpose that activity endures not simply under necessity, but with joyful enthusiasm. It's put this way in Romans chapter 15. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you to live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for the followers of Christ Jesus. So we think about patience. God wants to give us patience, but he wants that to develop so that we can help others and we can live in harmony with one another. If you've been married any length of time, you realize the importance of being patient with your spouse. I don't know about you who are listening to me today, but I'm so glad that I have a wife that is very, very patient with me. She overlooks a whole lot of my nonsense. And as a result of her patience with me, I have become a better person. I've been able to overlook her shortcomings as well. That's what a successful marriage is all about. It's two highly flawed individuals being very patient with one another and being determined to stick together no matter what happens. Well, why does patience matter? As a patient person, it matters because it shows some things are manifested in your life. A patient person is one who has understanding. You won't act foolishly if you're a patient person. I would encourage you to spend a lot of time in the book of Proverbs, and this is one verse that drives this point home. Proverbs 14:29 says, "Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding." In other words, if I can keep my cool and not blow my top, it shows that I have great understanding. But the second half of that verse says, "But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly." Slow understanding. You know, there's a commercial that I love, and it's Farmers Insurance. And Farmers Insurance does these TV commercials, and they always end their commercials by saying, "We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two." On October 19, 2014, for example, a man opens up his garage door to take out the trash, and he finds a bear sitting on a blue bin holding a raw steak in his mouth. The animal had destroyed the room and eaten all the food. Without flinching or changing his expression, the dumbstruck man closes the garage door. In the present day, Farmers Insurance spokesman, played by J.K. Simmons, refers to this incident as a smash and grub. To a woman who experienced the same problem and assures her that the company covers it because we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. When you're a patient person, you're saying, "I have great understanding. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two." Here's the second thing that we learn about patience is that when we are a patient person, we have peace and we're not acting contentiously. Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." That is, one who is not easily offended, one who is not thin-skinned, has peace and doesn't have to act contentiously. We also learn that if we're a patient person, we have self-control and we're not acting out of arrogance. Proverbs 16:23 says, "Whoever is slow to angry is better than a mighty, and he who rules his own spirit than he who takes a mighty city." In other words, one who rules his emotions, one who is self-controlled, this is a key indicator of whether or not you're going to be successful or not. Can you control yourself? You're never going to be able to control other people if you cannot first control your life. You see, we can't control most things in life, but we can control ourselves. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond to what happens to us. We must learn self-control. At the conclusion of a 2020 show, Dr. Baumeister concluded, "If we're concerned about raising children to be successful and healthy and happy," he says, "forget about self-esteem. Concentrate on self-control." And isn't that where we're living today? We're so worried about our self-esteem, but really we should be worried about our self-control. Teach your children to be filled with self-control, and their self-esteem will take care of itself. We also learn that patience really is important in our lives because it shows that we have forgiveness. We won't act harshly when we think about how much God has forgiven us. Proverbs 19:11 says, "Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." You see, if I have been forgiven much, and all of us have been forgiven much, if we take a minute and really think about it, if I have been forgiven much, we have the ability to forgive others of much. If God is very patient with us, we can be very patient with others. Another benefit of patience is it shows that I have authority. Not one who is able to be a passive person, I'm not talking about that, but I have authority. With patience, says Proverbs 25, verse 15, "A ruler is persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone." I love the story of a 12-year-old girl who accidentally ran a half a marathon after signing up for a family-friendly 5K race. Her name was Lee. Lee was a 12-year-old student from New York, and she was worried that she was going to be late for the 5K race. So her mom dropped her off, and she set off to where the race began, and she got in line with everybody else, but she accidentally got in the wrong line. She was in the line to be running the half marathon, and unbeknownst to her, she's in this wrong line, and the gun goes off, and she runs. She focused on putting one foot in front of the other. She didn't realize until about mile 4 that the finish line was nowhere in sight. Turning to another runner, she finally asked, "Am I on the right track? Where is the finish line?" And the individual says, "Well, we've got a long ways to go before we get to the finish line." She didn't know what to do, so she began just taking one step in front of the other step. Her mother became very worried about her, couldn't find her, got the police involved. They spent 2 hours looking for her. Well, after 2.5 hours, she finally finished the race. Lee finished the race 2 hours after starting it, and she finished it, and she finished at 13.1 1 mile race, and she got a ribbon for finishing the race as she was the youngest to finish that half marathon. Her mom says, "I didn't even know she could run that far, but I'm so proud of her." Maybe that's where your life is today. Man, you thought you were signing up for a 5K race, and you discovered that your life has turned into a marathon. Well, I want you to know that patience will allow you to be persuasive of others. Trust God to get you through it, and He will. Here's the third thing we think we can learn about patience is, how do I grow in patience? And this is a very important matter. I used to say, I don't want to pray for patience because the Bible says the trying of your faith produces patience. And we think that's a bad thing, but really that's a good thing. We learn to slow down. If you want to learn patience, you got to learn to slow down. And you can learn to slow down by looking at what is ahead of you and realizing that God is in control. Maybe you're zooming down the highway, right? And as you're zooming down the highway, you're like me. I'm always in the left lane. Why am I always in the left lane? Because I'm always in a rush. I've discovered something about God. He's never in a rush. I'm always in a rush, but He's never in a rush. I'm always running a little bit late, but He's always right on time. I don't know how that can be when He's not ever in a rush. Listen, you don't find God in the speed lane, the passing lane. You're going to find Him over in the breakdown lane. When you break down on the side of the road, you're going to discover God is there in the breakdown lane. If you look at this matter of patience, how do I grow in patience? In James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, we have three examples. We have the example of the farmer, we have the example of the prophet, and we have the example of Job. Let's look at these three examples quickly, okay? Look at the farmer. Be patient, verse number 7, James chapter 5, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. And then James says, look at the farmer. See how he waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, he says, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. In other words, we're planting for a future and we're not waiting for nothing to happen. We're waiting for the opportunity to share the gospel. We're standing firm because we know the Lord's coming is near. The farmer, after he plants those seeds, he doesn't just do nothing. He waters it and he fertilizes it and he prepares the soil. And there's a lot of things happening behind the scene as that seed begins to grow. And then it's ready for harvest. But the farmer is patient through that whole process. And then the second thing we look at the prophet. Live in the present like a prophet, right? Without grumbling. Verse number nine says, don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. In other words, they get up and they proclaimed a message. I think about the prophet Jeremiah, for example. In all of his ministry of prophesying, not one convert. Now, then he wrote the book of Lamentations. We kind of figured that out. He was so lamentful over the fact that he had no converts, but he didn't lose any zeal. He realized that he was God's mouthpiece. God was going to take his prophecy, and it was going to come to pass in God's timing. And then James reminds us about the life of Job. Look at Job and learn perseverance. Look at suffering from God's perspective and allow us to see in the midst of trials, God is in control. Increasing our blessings in the midst of those times when we feel like we've lost everything. James 5:11 says, as you know, we count as blessed those who are persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. And then James says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear by heaven or by earth or anything else under heaven or earth. All you need to do is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. So we've learned so far that we got to be like the farmer who waits for those crops to be produced. We've got to be like the prophet to wait for that message to come to fruition. We've got to be like Job, learning perseverance in the time of suffering. I think there's another way we can learn how to deal and how to learn patience, and that is by simply learning to shut up. There are three controls that everyone needs to learn. And we're in James chapter 1, 19 to 27. I need to learn to control my speech. James tells us that we have this little member in our bodies that we got to control that. He says, my dear friends, take note of this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We also need to learn to control our anger. Verse 20 says that human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and that evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word of God planted in you, which can save you. And then I got to learn to control not only my speech, not only my anger, but this is a really important one. I must learn to control my actions. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. James tells us religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their time of distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Well, there's another point that we've got to learn. If we're going to learn how to be patient, we've got to learn to forgive. And we've got to learn to forgive people willingly and quickly and mercifully. You know, the Bible has so much to say about this matter of forgiveness. Forgiveness will forge a future relationship with others. Refusal to forgive causes relationships to fall apart. One thing I know about God is that He's all in this matter of reconciliation. He's all in bringing lives back together. And when we forgive somebody, we do it compassionately. And you think about compassionately and willingly giving somebody forgiveness. Forgiveness is never earned. It's always a gift. We're told that we're to forgive quickly. You know, the longer you go without forgiving somebody, the more difficult it is to forgive that person. Why? Because growing bitterness festers up within us. When you quickly and completely forgive somebody, you say, "I forgive you all of that debt. I'm going to let you go free," just like Jesus forgave all of our debt. And we're to forgive mercifully and graciously. As you think about mercifully and graciously, you're giving that debt over. Having mercy on somebody else. You know, to the merciful, God shows mercy. When you think about praising God in those times of waiting, wait on the Lord as you praise Him. Psalm 40:1-5, we're going to finish up quickly with these last few verses. David says, "When I waited patiently for the Lord, He turned to me and He heard my cry. When I lifted up my voice unto Him, He took me out of that slimy pit, that muck and that mire, and He set my feet upon a rock. And when I wait upon the Lord, He humbles me. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, but to those who are turned aside to false gods, but he looks unto the true God." Oh, I want you to know there is a virtue in being patient. Good things come to those who wait upon the Lord. I pray today that you'll be a person filled with patience as you're going up and down the highway today. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase. Doesn't matter. Hope for your heart. No spaces. At HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. Now, if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know, and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge Student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade. If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.